the devotee or the Lord. And so that morning he took a vow that today before sunset I'll make him fight. He had vowed not to fight, I'll make him fight. And Krishna was chauffeuring somebody named Arjuna. And this great warrior went right in front of him, went on hitting him, hitting that protege madly, right, left and center. And Krishna, it is said, got so infuriated. He forgot all about his vow and what have you. Jumped down and he looking around for some kind of weapon on the battlefield to pick up and hit this chap. And there is nothing available. Only a wheel was there, a cart wheel. He took it and so he'll hit you, kill you. And that man, that sage and that devotee and what have you, he laid his weapons down and folded his palms and said, marvelous. You are God and you are breaking your own vow. Is it dharma? And then it is said that Krishna became even more furious and says, who the hell are you to teach me dharma? I am God, I know that. What I do is dharma. Who are you to teach me what dharma? And there is another one which I saw. This is, I was witness to this. A few of us attended a conference in South India in 1969. And the platform was blazing fire. About 15 or 20 mighty swamis, all of them sort of heads of their own cults and so on. And somebody, the program organizer, he had said that each swami can have about half an hour because there was too many speakers and too little time. And the first speaker on the card that day, he came a little late, 25 minutes, half an hour late. And he had been allotted 45 minutes. So after the 40th minute was over, this organizer showed a card in front under his nose. Another 5 minutes more. Boom! He flared up. He said, what do you mean? I have only spoken for 10 minutes. What kind of organization? And somebody else, another swami, unfortunately, one of our group. She was in the group. He said, but you came late. And that was it. It's a mighty explosion. He said, your car came late. Your transport came late. I was waiting for you from 6 o'clock in the morning. And the organizer was a nice, good friend of mine. So I tugged at his sleeves and said, please, just collapse and say, apologize. My name is listed later. I'll cut mine. Speech short, 15 minutes will do for me. And then he did. That's right. He said, and continued the speech as though nothing happened. That is beautiful. If you had lost your temper like that, you'd be floored and a cup of coffee before you can talk again. Continue. And that night we had some rotary reception to all of us. And it was a dinner, meeting and dinner. We are having our dinner and somebody else remarked, we are all in a jovial mood. I said, why is it, how is it that even swamis lose their temper? His question was, how is it that even swamis lose their temper? This man flared up. He said, only swamis lose their temper. Not you. Only swami should lose. We are here to tell you what to do and what not to do. If we are soft as, clay, then you could help. We are here to correct you, chastise you. Only we can lose our temper. So only we can lose our temper, only we can lose our balance of mind. Only we can be attached. What we do is not safe.
mom listening to say?
Me losing temper? Sure.
Have you ever?
Next question.
Next lifetime.
How come?
No, next lifetime. That's what you're talking about, see? Yeah, I don't know. It's a question. You gave me a piece of paper, did it?
Oh, yes.
Well, let's look at it.
I can tell you about it.
You can tell me?
How do you receive enlightenment?
How
do you receive enlightenment?
How do I receive enlightenment?
How does one receive it? I don't remember exactly what
it is. That's it?
No, it's okay.
When you receive enlightenment, what is enlightenment? First of all, enlightenment is not something which is received. Enlightenment is not something which is received. The light just is, and the light shines. The light shines all the time, yes? It's never not there. What is not there and what comes into being can disappear. So if enlightenment is something which is received, which was not there with me and it came into my hands, I can lose it. It's no use. That which comes must go. Must go. That's an absolute rule, inviolable rule. That which is born must die. That which comes must go. That which is received, that which is given, will be taken away. So, the light is. The light is constantly. In a manner of speaking, I was asleep. Or in a manner of speaking, I had turned away from it. In a manner of speaking. And even that is an illusory notion. I can see that now. I can see the light coming. Even that, I am ignorant of this light. I am ignorant of this enlightenment. I am ignorant of truth is a notion. An illusory notion. All notions being illusory. All notions being illusion, yes? Is it that clear, isn't it? Huh? The most common and famous example used is a coiled rope that lies on the ground and somebody jumps. It's a snake. Or you are even more familiar with these rubber snakes, yes? Which looks almost like a snake. And somebody jumps up. Why did that person jump up? Because he thought it was a snake. And then you go and shake it. It's clear. It's clear? What's clear?
I'm a snake?
It is a snake.
Illusory snake.
The illusion does not exist.
But it's an illusion.
What is an illusion? Is there an illusion there? There is an illusion. Is it an illusion that is lying down?
No. My perception.
Did you not perceive? You are perceiving what you were perceiving and what you have always been perceiving for all time to come. Right, come on. I can tease you. No, man. But, come on.
Yes, my concept was mistaken. It's my concept that's at fault. It's an illusion.
But was it there in the first place? Was there a concept which was sitting in your on top of your head in the first place?
No.
No. What is, was, has always been, will always be.
I still can't get the idea of the concept, either being there or not being
there. Here you are. Don't try to do something else. There is this thing. First you jumped up. Oh my God, it's a snake. And someone comes and tickles the tail. Sure. That's all. You are still seeing the same thing which you were seeing before, which you have been seeing for all time to come and which you will see for all time to come. What was the difference before and what is the difference now?
No longer afraid. You no longer
that's
afraid.
That's true, but how did the fear arise in the first place? Your eyes were still seeing the same thing, and they are seeing the same thing even now. What came into being before you said, "Ah, he is at all." Before you said that, what was there before, and what went away at that time? Nothing, absolutely nothing.
An idea went away.
So what is?
Give me idea.
Maybe you're piercing through the appearance then? You're piercing through the appearance?
How can you pierce through something which doesn't exist? How do I pierce through an appearance? Right? No. We are battling with words. But I hope you realize that we have been using these words and we have been using these expressions, the expression of concept, the expression of illusion, the expression of a notion, the expression of ideas. These things do not exist.
Just in the head.
Oh, you to me. And we dare not say use that expression any longer. Because they have cut open the head and threadbare. The scientists have literally chewed up people's brains. So we dare not say that an idea is in the head. It is not in the head. They have taken the whole thing apart and reassembled it. So I think we must look at this, the whole phenomenon, once again of the phenomenon of illusion, and see it was not there in the first place. Only if that is very clearly, terribly clearly seen, then we do not expect enlightenment to change anything. That thing is what it was, what it always has been, and what it will always be.
It doesn't matter so much anymore.
It didn't matter before also either. Even if you had stepped on it, it would never have bitten you. It wouldn't have mattered even before.
But the enlightened person knows that before he steps on it.
No. Even now, we are just for 1 minute, we will digress and come back to it. Otherwise, we will lose our track altogether. I am an unenlightened person. And even if I stepped on it, it would still not bite me. Something that is false is false. It doesn't exist. What is false does not exist. Cannot exist. It's absurd. Light is coming.
That's because I don't.
I can see. I can see that. I can see. Just through the right eye, a little bit light is coming. That's it. That which is seen as false was false all the time. And what is an illusion? Illusion is something which does not exist, which has never existed. So that upon enlightenment, something doesn't disappear, something doesn't go away, nothing goes away, nothing comes into being. What was truth is truth, will ever be truth. What was false is false, and will ever be false. It is so simple.
It's not simple to get there.
Get where?
Life. I know there's nowhere to get.
Get where?
To that understanding or not?
No. The understanding is there. It's not a question of understanding or understanding.
So what's wrong with us?
Exactly. What's wrong with us? That's it. And then it's gone. If you had yelled even louder, you would have been marveling. What's wrong with us? The idea that something was wrong even that was not wrong because it didn't exist. What can I do with something which didn't exist? Can I rub the idea, wash the idea?
That's the eye.
That which does not exist. Eye is only an abbreviation for the word idea or illusion. You see, unfortunately, even the Oriental metaphysicians, they have enthroned this thing called illusion, Maya. And because it has been repeated again and again and again, this is psychological truth, isn't it? Falsehood, if it is repeated again and again and again and listened to again and again and again, it becomes truth. Yes? Go on telling falsehood. Something that is false, and tell it vehemently, more and louder and louder and louder. After some time, it becomes truth.
Everybody believes it. It's not true.
Okay, then everybody believes it. So this Maya has been repeated so often, and people have painted lovely pictures of this Maya, usually feminine, because the word is Maya is feminine gender. So that it has come to be accepted as a real thing, like your the Christian Satan. You keep looking for it in a dark corner. It must be hiding there. And if you're not careful, it jumps on your... Where does it jump on? Shoulders.
Is God an illusion?
Yeah, the one that is other than the questioner is an illusion.
What is an illusion?
The one, his question was, is God also an illusion?
Yeah.
The one, the God that is other than the questioner is an illusion. If you create an idea of God, that's an illusion, obviously.
But if all ideas are illusion, then God's an illusion too.
Right.
Yeah.
So when all that has gone, what remains?
Maybe nothing. I don't know. I haven't found out.
Nothing is? The thing that says nothing is immediately also adds I don't know. So nothing is, I don't know. When these come to clash, what happens? The I remains silent, and that silence is or is.
Well, I can only say nothing is.
Quite right. You're right.
Yeah.
If you use the I as a third person, I can only say nothing is. Here, in that sentence, I is the third person, not first person.
Swamiji, where did I get my concept of I?
From a book. See here. Alphabet chart. I think, those of you who are mothers, I think you know better than I do, that a child, to begin with, does not use the word I. Arella wants to go. That's how she starts saying. She doesn't say, I want it. She uses her own name. You go to mommy and say, mommy, Kim would like to have some milk. Because you associate that with Kim. People have referred to that as Kim. And then slowly this thing is fed into you. Training, education. And then to begin with, you don't know the difference between a boy and a girl. Then somebody keeps telling you, you are a girl and he's a boy. Oh, see. Now gradually I'm becoming more and more limited. And then they tell you are Jewish, you are not Christian. Oh, I see, I'm Jewish, not Christian.
Would it be possible to take a child and bring the child up so that they would not have this concept of
God? Only God can do it. Because all of us are limited. Who is going to do that?
Well, you could.
Anybody.
If you took a child and you had that child and brought that child up without any other outside influence, couldn't you bring it up to think not in terms of
I'm not sure. I mean, the eye is here. No? It is the eye that does it. Is it possible for something which... That's why, right. You are putting ideas into my head now. That's why some of the greatest beings like prophets and things like that are said to have been brought up by non-human agencies. Yes?
Yeah.
You have birds bringing up some people and some
wolves.
Great men. Pardon?
Wolves.
Yeah, right. If you study mythology, you've got numbers of instances where the children, babies have been abandoned in the forest and so on, and they've been brought up by trees and brought up by... And they become highly enlightened beings. I don't know if that is within human ability. And so one has to battle with it. One, when I begin to think, when I begin to reflect, at that time I suddenly see that my whole mind is corrupted. That I'm already seeing that as a snake. This is where I awaken myself, I become conscious of myself. I am presented with this fact that I am a corrupted person. The mind is corrupted, heavily corrupted. And that's when I wake up. As soon as I wake up, I see this. And so I have to battle to get rid of it. Battle, or at least come to the understanding that it is not a snake. And then you say, ah. That's it.
When Maharshi, when he's referring to another kind of I, he says I-I. Have you seen that in the talk? What is that?
That is Aham Spurana. Aham Spurana is when you, well, for this purpose, you need to practice what is called meditation or vichara. His method is vichara. I'm looking at her. While looking, can you also see where I am looking at her? First of all, there is a thought that it is a she. I am looking at her. Can I see where that thought happens in me? Can I look at this without the thought arising that it is a she? Can you look at a flower without characterizing it as a flower? Can you look at the person without characterizing her as... first of all, you see that she is Robin. You say, no, I don't know her name. But still, it's a she. Then you begin to see that the seeing takes place within and some kind of memory connection is made. Association of thoughts, association of ideas. That if someone has a hair down like that, and if that person has a body like that, the mind thinks it is a female, she. Therefore, this is nothing but one idea. And where does the idea itself arise? I'm literally, it's not a speculative question, not a psychological question, not a psychological analysis or, research. I'm merely asking it in the brutally simple sense of, does this idea that she's, I'm seeing her, does this idea arise in the head or in the nose or in the eye, ears or eyes?
In the memory? Mind?
Socks. You must see it as clearly as the socks. Otherwise, don't see it. And yet, there is this unmistakable feeling, I am seeing. Her I have sort of disposed of, as an idea in the mind. But still, this I, Aham Spurana is... inevitably experienced, I. Where does that arise? When someone says, mind, that's another, I think, mind.
I see with my eyes.
You've jumped twice away. I see with my eyes. Where does the thought I arise?
So if one says the eyes see.
The eyes see, it's there, it's here, and you have to go again back. Jump back again.
Mind.
Socks. Is it clear? Is it abundantly clear? Is it as clear, the word mind to you? Is it as clear as the socks? Then don't say it. Where does it arise? Where does the thought, I see her, where does that arise?
It seems to disappear.
Then you are looking away. Where is it gone? Who? From whom has it disappeared? Am I still there or not? That idea has gone, but am I still there or not?
Some awareness is still there.
Who is aware of that? Oh, you don't let it get away at all. You grip it. I am still there. I was looking at her. And then I began to inquire. The her disappeared into a cloud of mere thought.